The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We must take America back. And it's imperative that we have our faculties about us to be able to do it. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley. Second hour of the National Intel Report this Friday, June 1st, 2018. Phone lines are open. It's quiet. I don't know. Maybe it's boring. Maybe I put everyone to sleep. John says, sometimes I sound like paint drying, so maybe it's the paint drying. But I digress. So in conjunction with the Mike Adams clip that we played in the first hour, again, it'll be in the National Intel Report archives, and links to lots of stuff that I mentioned will include. But the video on Vimeo is titled Green 5, How You've Been Massively Hypnotized to Delete Reality. And in that conditioning, there are a number of ways that it happens. But again, you know, I should actually include Dr. Dimitri Christakis's TED Talk, Media and Children. We should play a clip of that. You know, the where he says what we're doing to kids these days is actually harmful to their brains. The baby Einstein, is that what it was? Yeah, baby Einstein day on the farm. As he put it, as Dimitri Christakis put it, you know, with all of the scene changes and stuff, he says, you know, it's the most exhausting day on the farm since John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. And it conditions kids to want to not only not be able to think critically, but also to feel like this media saturation, this overstimulation is normal. When it's not, you know it's not. I know it's not. But when someone grows up and under a deluge of stimulation like that, eventually it has an erosive effect over time, and it basically wears down your resistance. So maybe we should play a clip of that. So. Dimitri Christakis did tests and proved that that kind of thing is injurious to children's health. It has a long-term psychological deleterious effect. And while we're at it, might as well mention the Harvard The working paper number 9, persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's development. It's 16 pages long, but I'll include a link to that too. and you can download the paper from the Harvard link. Persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's learning and development. Working paper number 9. Read that paper and then think about all of these active shooter drills that are happening in schools, and understand how that is crippling some young people's minds. Literally. Unbelievable what we're doing. And so we need to stop. We need to resist the social pressure to conform and become conscientious objectors and be able to defend our position intelligently and in a level-headed fashion. That is difficult sometimes, especially under overwhelming pressure of propaganda. And speaking of that, and we'll go to the phones here in a second, but speaking of the pressure, it's usually couched in nonsensical sound bites. One of the best that I've seen recently, you know, I get emails. I got an email from someone the other day about the you know, and this is something, speaking of all of this kind of conflict and the nonsense, the CIA, the Pentagon, etc., William Engdahl's The Lost Hegemon, The Unusual Story Behind the Cover, was an email that he sent out yesterday, I think. And it's you know, I think it's worth reading, that story, you know, because it is an interesting cover, for sure. And I've heard him describe it, but the letter was, the email was interesting too. So, you know, you see emails like the one that I'm on the Women's March, mailing list just to see what they're up to. And so the latest email yesterday, these are the four largest protests since Trump was inaugurated. The headline is "Women are leading this resistance movement," which is ambiguous. What does that even mean? This resistance movement. Women are leading what resistance movement? These are the four largest protests since Trump was inaugurated. And it really is sort of nonsensical. It's very ambiguous, very amorphous. You know, there's nothing really tangible in it. But then there's nothing tangible in any of the emails ever from the Women's March group, which, by the way, was instrumental in organizing the Parkland nonsense. But where is the email that I'm thinking of? Yeah, it was the Noam Chomsky quote, speaking of these slogans and things, from Larry. So the it's one of those you know, little graphics that floats around on social media, but Noam Chomsky said the point of public relations slogans like "support our troops" is that they don't mean anything. That's the whole point of good propaganda. You want to create a slogan, and who better than the linguist, you know, the MIT linguist, than Noam Chomsky. You want to create a slogan that nobody's going to be against, and everybody's going to be for. Nobody knows what it means because it doesn't mean anything. Its crucial value is that it diverts your attention from a question that does mean something. Do you support our policy? That's the one you're not allowed to talk about. And so, you know, I've mentioned several times Ezra Pound's quote, the guy who set Eustace Mullins' feet aflight on the investigative quest that turned into a lifetime of work. But, you know, Ezra Pound's quote, "The technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly about which one is true." So back to the CIA, William Casey, and did he really say it? The Quora article, did Bill Casey really say, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything is the American public believes is false? Yes, he did. Again, Greg Smith studied at the University of California, Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, sent correspondence to Barbara Honegger, said, hey, regarding this discussion, what's the deal? And she responded and said, yes, indeed, he did say that. Anyway, that was September 22nd, 2014, that Greg Smith posted that. And I'm not going to read that to you because Barbara Honegger herself actually wrote a response November 25th, 2014, and it reads thusly, I am the source for this quote, which was indeed said by CIA Director William Casey at an early February 1981 meeting of the newly elected President Reagan with his new cabinet secretaries to report to him on what they had learned about their agencies in the first couple of weeks of the administration. The meeting was in the Roosevelt Room in the West Wing of the White House, not far from the Cabinet Room. I was present at the meeting as assistant to the Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to the President. Casey first told Reagan that he had been astonished to discover that over 80% of intelligence that the analysts' side of the CIA produced was based on open public sources like newspapers and magazines. Which is ridiculous because, you know, in the decade prior, the guy who was vice president in the White House at, you know, at this time, George H.W., obviously, had said, as a result of Colby's testimony before Congress, that yes, Virginia, the CIA did have credentialed journalists on staff in major media outlets. Responding to that, GHWB said, well, you know, we won't have credentialed journalists anymore in the press, which is worse because now all we hear about is confidential sources. So now we have no neck to grab, which is worse. They've retreated into darkness like roaches behind a refrigerator. So that's a little side note on history. So, but Barbara Honegger writes, continuing, she says, as he did to all other secretaries of their departments and agencies, Reagan asked what he saw as his goal as director for the CIA, to which William Casey replied with this quote, which I recorded in my notes of the meeting as he said it. Shortly thereafter, I told senior White House correspondent Sarah McClendon, who was a close friend and colleague who in turn made it public. That's according to Barbara Honegger. So she was an eyewitness to William Casey, CIA Director William Casey, saying, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. I can't help be reminded of Ralph McGahee's words. And Ralph McGahee is the one of the unimpeachable witnesses, I would say, who has written about the exploits. It's interesting that the CIA always wants to shut people down, dissenting voices. And they want to talk about national security and things like that, which is hogwash. I've mentioned it before, by the way, as an interesting side note, go to the Federal Register and look up the CIA and see that just about everything the CIA files in the Federal Register has to do with their concern about you, the American public, wanting to see things, you know, FOIA requests and, you know, things like that. We can't let these things get out into the public. Classification challenge regulations, Freedom of Information Act regulations, mandatory declassification review, crap like that. Information security regulations. I'll put a link to that too. Why are they so concerned? you know, what they say to you, these people, nothing to fear, nothing to hide. Why so concerned then? So I'm reminded of Ralph McGahee's words, 25-year CIA veteran, Career Intelligence Medal recipient. In his book, back in 1983, I always say 93 for some reason, Deadly Deceits, published back in 1983. Ralph McGahee wrote, The CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors, Philip Drew Administrator, you know, Edward Mandel House. So he wrote, in that capacity, it overthrows or supports foreign governments while reporting intelligence justifying those activities. It shapes its intelligence, even in such critical areas as Soviet nuclear weapon capability. I always add parenthetically, weapons of mass destruction. To support presidential policy. Disinformation, but here's the punchline. Disinformation is a large part of the CIA's covert action responsibility. And the American people are the primary target audience of its lies. This is a guy who, you know, 25 years at the CIA. If you doubt this, read what John Stockwell said about this. And it's interesting, on the Wikipedia entry for Ralph McGahee, Stockwell's mentioned. But, you know, you have Church Committee, CIA activities in Vietnam, Directorate of Operations, the DEW, clandestine service. United States and Terrorism, that's a fun Wikipedia entry. Philip Agee, Robert Baer, Pierre de Silva, Richard Helms, Victor Marchetti, Ray McGovern, Robert David Steele, and John R. Stockwell. Just a few of the voices that, you know, did try to see something and say something, did try to say something. Anyway, this is unconscionable, and is happening in America. Unbelievable. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Roxanne in Texas. Roxanne, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi. Sorry. I just wanted to talk. I got two little brief things and then a possible way out of all of this. But we know Hog Wild had the help within a couple of days, and I say months, of Nellie Orr. Because mm-hmm. on his Twitter, he had their two ugly mugs. This couldn't be possible without the help, Nellie Orr, paraphrasing. So, and it's always funded by the usual suspects. And the D.C. protests, when you file for applications, those take months. Okay, that's the result.
Exactly.
But have you heard of the SCL? That's the Strategic Communication Lab. They're out of the UK. And their main goal, and they used to say, because they're bankrupt now, but they used to say, our job is to change public opinion. So they are the Tavistock, the CIA, the whatever, you know, to keep everybody looking over here while we're doing over here. But then they're the parent of Cambridge Analytica that came up with the firing.
Right.
And then they're also the parent of Fusion GPS. And isn't Nellie's husband, I think it's Glenn Simpson?
Right, and there are a bunch of...
They're all bankrupt.
It's all former FBI, former intelligence crypto guys, and then there's CrowdStrike, same thing. Yep, absolutely.
And real quick, when I used to do motorcade here in Houston, Marlon Fitzwater used to come in and, you know, we'd dump old man Bush at the hotel and... Then, like, the people, the servants or the slaves to go places. And Marlon Fitzwater, we always had to take him over to his honey over in the southwest part of town. But here's a possible solution.
Hold that thought. We're headed into a break. Hold that thought. We'll grab that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Took it away.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association
nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So, real quick, before we get to the possible solution, remember, I don't know which link I want. I guess we'll do this one. Anyway, remember, here's the Washington Post version of the story. Remember the headline, Barney Frank and the Male Prostitute, 1989, from the article, Washington Post. Democratic rep Barney Frank admitted a lengthy relationship with a male hooker who ran a bisexual prostitution service out of Frank's apartment. And I'll include a link to that too. It's archived on the WashingtonPost.com website. And the story goes on. It says the story was broken by the conservative Washington Times newspaper, which trumpeted every juicy morsel with front page hype. An interesting way to put that. But, you know, you can still find that rattling around at places like, you know, educateyourself.org. I'll include a link to that, too. Remember the front page of the Washington Times, June 29, 1989, homosexual prostitution inquiry ensnares VIPs with Reagan Bush. Subhead: Callboys took midnight tour of White House. And so, you know, for whatever reason, I was thinking of the Franklin cover-up and the Frank cover-up to go with it, or the memory holding of that in the, you know, 1993, the crack team of the British documentary team that came over to document the Franklin cover up, and you know, the conspiracy of silence that was silenced. That was the title of the documentary that never aired, was pulled weeks before it was supposed to air. Anyway, and so it's still going on. But so we're on the phones, Roxanne in Texas. You have a possible solution.
Yes, you have to do in-depth research to come up with this. So I've done it. But we want to wake people up is sort of the gist of this thing that you started out, or your conversation, I should say.
Yeah.
I would like to see everybody become transgender priests and move to the Vatican. There you go. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
I like it. Oh, my goodness. That's a good Friday thought. Everyone become transgendered priests and move to the Vatican. Well, you know, I think, you know, I mean, not to be crass, but I think they probably have some of those already, don't they? Anyway, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go sacred cow tipping on Friday, not too much, you know. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Thanks, Roxanne. I appreciate that. Back to the phones. No? Do we lose? All right, we lost Andrea. Sorry we lost you. All right. Go back to the phones. Art off the grid, welcome. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, Tom. Just kind of curious. I've been watching this whole Trump thing ever since he got elected, and it just seems to get more interesting as time goes by. It's like an ever-developing soap opera. But I'm kind of curious. And I've been, I noticed, you know, when old Donnie Boy there tried to do his little travel ban, everybody jumped up, started screaming and hollering, well, he can't do that. He ain't got the constitutional authority to limit immigration or whatever. And actually, he does. Congress gave him that authority to, as it literally states, quote, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens for such period as he deems necessary when he finds that the entry of
right.
any alien...
And he messaged right. that when he was in Tennessee. He mentioned that. When he was in Tennessee,
my thing.
Yeah.
Everybody twists right. this up like he don't have the constitutional authority to do that when he does, but when he does something that is clearly outside of his constitutional authority, nobody mentions a word. Now, I'm not a Trump fan. I really don't like the guy one way or the other. I got no love for him, nor do I hate the guy. When he did, it's like Obama. When he does good, I'm gonna praise him. When he screws up, I'm going to call him out on it. And here's where I got to call everybody out, because nobody is addressing the issue that Donald Trump does not have the authority to levy any tariffs on any country and their products coming in. That is strictly Congress, and Congress alone has the authority. Article 1, Section 8, Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and for the private provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. And Congress also, the third one of this section, well, the second one is to borrow money, and the third one is to regulate commerce with foreign nations. There's your tariffs and everything right there.
What about the power to coin money and declare wars?
Congress still has the authority to do that. Problem is, in 1913...
Not just the authority, the only authority. The only authority. And so the intrigue there is the intrigue there is the administrative state, the administrative fourth branch that has been architected over the three duly constituted branches and has usurped authority. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report, this Friday, June 1st, 2018, headed into the weekend, and things are strange. Art off the grid. By the way, this is Chris Hinckley, not Tom. I don't know who you think I am, but not Tom.
I thought you were Tom. For some reason, I was thinking you were Tom Lacovara, but everybody in the chat room was like, no, that's Chris Hinckley. I'm like, oops, my bad.
No.
But anyway, but my point, though, about this whole deal was, you know, I mean, I went to law school and I majored in the Constitution, so I take this very, very seriously. And when I see a president doing something that I could really get behind you, dude, except you're doing things, you're trying to do unconstitutional things, which is the number one reason why I couldn't stand Obama. And, you know, people need to understand the president does not have the authority to levy tariffs. This is all Congress. he does have the authority to say, sorry, folks, you're not Americans. You cannot come in here until we get a handle on this problem. These people are coming from these types of countries, so we're not going to let anyone from this area come in here until we get a wrap on this. And he has every right to do that. He's got that authority. But, you know, just like, you know, with the coin money, Congress still has the authority to coin money. All they have to do is get the nerve to do it, and then they can tell the Federal Reserve, pack up, get out. You no longer do business here as the corporation known as the Federal Reserve. We're going back to coining our money, and you can have a nice day. And that'd be the end of it right there, and they'd have the Army to back them up and protect them. But they won't do that. But, you know, that this is one thing I keep trying to get people to understand. We have these different branches of governments, and they are crisscrossing over top of each other to the point to where I don't think anybody in Congress or in the White House knows exactly who's supposed to have what job anymore.
Well, I would sort of agree with you, and having gone to law school, I would, you know, value your comment on the rise of administrative law, which is my understanding it has risen to preeminence from the 1940s. And, you know, that's really anything – that's all anybody talks about. Dating back to most notably William Willoughby's Principles of Judicial Administration, which was the sort of hijacking of the country, people forget speaking of William Willoughby, I mean, that's – ancient history, Principles of Judicial Administration. I'll include a link to that too. When Alfalfa Bill Murray made his statement, we play that clip every once in a while on Road Warrior Radio, and I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but not really. The hijacking of the judicial system, and it's not that the branches are all over the place, it's that they've been wired together in the administrative branch. So, you know, I guess as a jumping off point, do you have a thought on administrative law rising to preeminence?
it's all I've known since I've been alive, you know. Because you can, you know, go back, this is going back decades ago, when Congress began to relinquish its authority, and we saw the Supreme Court moving more toward liberal ideology rather than, you know, truly interpreting the Constitution and standing up for it. But I went to a strictly constitutional law school, so we learned a little bit about administrative law, but our focus was on the Constitution. But yeah, this rising administrative system, it's just if we don't stop it, and I mean really soon, within 5 years, no one living will recognize this country anymore. That's how dramatically this is going to change if we don't put this criminal, corrupt court system in its place and take back our judicial system the way it was intended. But it just drives me nuts. You know, I'm trying to. Trying to get these things across to people, and they just look at me like I'm an idiot. It's like, look, guys, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but you know, I'm LCD powered here, okay? I'm going on, you know, I'm not stupid, I'm not smart, but I'm not stupid either. And the Constitution isn't that hard to understand if we just go back and read it with what would have been considered in those days a basic sixth grade education. That's the language in which these documents are written. This is not hard to understand. And we need to start making it clear. Congress, you have your job. Mr. President, you have your job. You know, Senate, here's what you do. House, right. This is what you do. And I had a conversation today down at the EMS, because I had the EMS, the Emergency Medical Service, because I'm paying on a hospital bill for my mom going to the hospital a couple months back. So I'm paying on an ambulance bill. And we got to talking about this, and, you know, I was pointing out how the Obamacare was unconstitutional, and the first thing she wanted to know was, well, how? And I said, well, first of all bills relating to revenue, and the Supreme Court says this is a tax, must originate in the House. Who wrote these bills? certainly wasn't nobody in Congress, because if anybody in Congress wrote them, we wouldn't have had Nancy Pelosi tell us we got to pass it so we can read it. So, you know, and I told her who wrote it, you know, Andy Stern, SEIU, all of these are the guys that wrote it. So we don't even have Congress doing Congress's jobs anymore. And I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and it's amazing. I mean, I don't even like this guy. And he called it so perfectly that Congress appears to, the reason why Congress is doing the way that they're doing now, it's almost as if they're so sick and tired of writing laws, because that's all they've been doing since they gave their truly constitutional authority to other private agencies. All they've been doing is sitting for the past 60 years just writing new law after new law after new law, and now they don't know what to do with themselves, because they find themselves in a different political system starting to evolve out of what could be future ashes of the current political system, and they don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, there might be a contingent, but there is a, you know, contingent of the what C. Wright Mills referred to as the power elite, that knows pretty well what's happening, and they benefit largely. One of the quotes that I always think of, I think it was Madison, James Madison. Yeah, this was the quote. The way James Madison put it in Federalist Number 62, to trace the mischievous effects of a mutable government would fill a volume. I will hint a few only, each of which will be perceived to be a source of innumerable others. The internal effects of a mutable policy are still more calamitous. It poisons the blessings of liberty itself. It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. If they be repealed or revised before they are promulgated, or undergo such incessant changes that no man who knows what the law is today can guess what it will be tomorrow. Again, this is the father of the Constitution in Federalist Number 62. Continuing, law is defined to be a rule of action, but how can that be a rule which is little known and less fixed? But here's what I would consider the punchline. It says, another effect of public instability is the unreasonable advantage it gives to the sagacious, the enterprising, and the moneyed few over the industrious and uninformed mass of the people. Every new regulation concerning commerce or revenue, or in any manner affecting the value of the different species of property, presents a new harvest to those who watch the change and can trace its consequences. A harvest reared not by themselves, but by the toils and cares of the great body of their fellow citizens. This is a state of things in which it may be said, with some truth, that laws are made for the few, not for the many. That's James Madison, Federalist Number 62. And on that note, I will add a few little footnotes, I guess, to that. Some documentation of the fraud that has occurred, and there's a lot of it, but three, actually a few that kind of stand out in my mind as huge. James P. Hill's article in the John Marshall Law Review, 1986, titled The Third House of Congress Versus the Fourth Branch of Government. And let me back up so that doesn't go in one ear and out the other for some people. The Third House of Congress versus the Fourth Branch of Government. The impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision-making. Again, that's in the John Marshall Law Review. This is not a conspiracy blog, but James P. Hill published that in the John Marshall Law Review, 1986. I have what they told me is the final printed copy they had available. I called to see if I could get a print copy of this like 14 years ago or something like that. And they actually sent me what they told me was the last copy that they could send out or whatever, which is astonishing. I have the full volume of the of that edition. Anyway, The Third House of Congress versus the Fourth Branch of Government. Ralph Winterroad, the true seeker of the far north on this network, has done a great job of pointing out how all of this works. You know, so just a quick note on that. James P. Hill points out how it's not necessarily the law that is passed so much as, you know, the things that Ralph has talked about for years. This collaboration, this conspiratorial collaboration between congressional committee staff and agency regulatory decision making, and none of those parties are elected, and that all happens in secret, and a lot of that is influenced by corporate, you know, whatever. It's all a Fordist sort of process. Anyway, it happens in secret, and they're promulgating these substantive rules of conduct presumed to have the force and effect of law. But what ends up happening is when the Malheur refuge occupation incident occurred, as Greg Walden pointed out, he was talking about a law that he co-authored that BLM completely turned upside down, and it was supposed to have the Oregon ranchers. The BLM was supposed to construct fencing at, you know, federal expense, is my understanding, and that got turned upside down, and somehow BLM, through the process of promulgating substantive rules of conduct, totally inverted the spirit of the law and had ranchers on the hook for something they were never supposed to be. And Greg Walden actually mentioned that on January on the floor of Congress, January 2016. I'll include a link to that too. So that's a big one. The Third House of Congress versus the Fourth Branch of Government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision-making. Second one, speaking of what you're talking about, Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State in the Harvard Law Review, 1994. He opens his piece with these words: the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional, and its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. And then he continues on from there. And R.J. Pastrito's 2007 Heritage article, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, he cites Gary Lawson's Harvard Law Review article. And recently, you know, speaking of the subversion of or the hijacking of the judicial system, when Peter Thiel had his conversation with Tyler Cohen at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University back on March 31st, 2015, that produced a wave of articles, including Washington Post and Breitbart, where they were saying Peter Thiel says that America is an oligarchy. It's not a democracy because of that remark he made toward the end, where he said to call America a democracy or a constitutional republic is disingenuous. It is we are a society dominated by these technocratic agencies. That's what Peter Thiel said. So you have that. And, you know, Andrew Jackson warned us about all of this back in 1837 in his farewell address. And I'll leave it at that, I think. The only other thing I'll say on that note is, in citing the quote, you know, William Casey's words and Ralph McGahee's words specifically about the president's foreign policy advisors, Edward Mandel House, and that sort of archetype, it cannot be overstated that you need to look behind the figurehead. You know, folks need to go look, for example, at the list of national security advisors. Two of the most influential people in American political history are Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, neither of whom were born in this country, both considered war criminals by many people and never elected. But, you know, Henry Kissinger's been influential in the White House since, you know, the 50s. And even Donald Trump has spent time talking to Henry Kissinger. Think about that, people. You know, Brzezinski passed away recently, but his legacy, unfortunately, lives on, and we all suffer for it. So, you know, hopefully some of that is helpful, I guess, and we're running out of time. So we need to go back to the phones, I guess. And I appreciate your call, Art. Hopefully some of that was relevant commentary to what you were saying. I appreciate it. Back to the phones. Ken in Fort Worth, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, Kissinger adds up to 666. That makes you feel real good, don't it? Hey,
yeah.
I'm thinking that they're hacking these cars that are driverless cars. That's what it looks like. Some guy said his car started up and drove into a bunch of cars. Now, wait a minute. That's like telling me a bowling ball went down and ran and did a strike and nobody pushed it.
Well, we've talked several times on this network about how the technology has been inbuilt for decades now to be able to control cars, you know. Some people,
yeah,
some of us...
By somebody else and not you.
Some of us, exactly, suspect that in cases like Michael Hastings, for example. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
I feel that I should uphold the power of the state. I feel also that the salvation of this country depends upon returning to constitutional government.
Serving from 1931 to 1935, Governor Alfalfa Bill Murray was perhaps the most colorful governor of the state of Oklahoma.
And a despotism by judicial control is as bad on the liberties of the people as a military despotism.
Murray was a strong leader for Oklahoma.
Some people get it, you know, and obviously this is a problem we've been dealing with for a long time. Alfalfa Bill Murray got it, and Eustace Mullins was one of the people that tried to remind us of that. Anyway, Ken, go ahead. Okay, we lost Ken. Appreciate your call, Ken. As we head into the weekend here, back to the phones real quick. Sovereign Man, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You bet.
I want to make a comment about the front site offer.
Mm-hmm.
The advertisements and the adverts will disappear, but the offer will still stand. Go to the RBN website. Get Dan Sutterfield's information. If you cannot make the deadline, bookmark that or save that information and contact him when you can.
Yeah.
You know, when you can afford it.
Absolutely. And ready. That information will be in the – well, I'll put that in the links for the second hour too. First and second hour. I'll make sure that link to that page is – on right. republicbroadcasting.org is in there. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
It's imperative that we get trained because, you know, this is an occupied nation. I mean, the Constitution and all this stuff, you know, it's great knowledge, you know, and it's very romantic. And, yes, I would love to have the Republic back, but the facts are the facts that we're occupied by foreign agents.
Yeah.
I mean,
Beset, the way I put it, besieged on all sides, absolutely, and it's a problem. I mean, we just played the clip of Alfalfa Bill Murray,
and that's a real name.
What's that?
That's real. The guy's name is Alfalfa Bill Murray.
Well, Alfalfa is his nickname, but yeah, Alfalfa Bill Murray. Yep, and that link will be in the archives too. That's from Oklahoma Horizon TV, so that's a public TV clip.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
You have a blessed weekend, a safe and blessed weekend, Chris. Thank you for all you do, brother.
You bet. Thank you, and I appreciate it. Thank you for that little raising that awareness again. We did it at the beginning of the first hour and the close of the second hour. And like I said, I'll make sure that link is in there. So I'll have links in the first and second hour and some tags and stuff like that and try to make sure that the information goes out far and wide. There's lots of stuff that we – covered a lot of ground in 2 hours. And so anyway, hopefully some of that reverberates around somewhere. And, you know, Eustace Mullins is the connection here back to Alfalfa Bill Murray. I can tell you from personal experience that it was Eustace Mullins' work that pointed me back to guys like Alfalfa Bill Murray. And that clip, I mean... He says it all, you know. Despotism by judicial control is as bad as on the liberties of the people as a military despotism. So Sovereign Man is right, but you know we need to be aware of this issue too. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As I usually say, it is an honor and a pleasure to sit in for John Stadmiller. I hope you have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.